This is the September 1 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Amy Sage of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Aaron Curtis of Midco out of Bloomington, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
Let's begin our discussion, as usual, with a list of items that we should take up. Amy Sage, I think I'll start with you. What is on your list of items to discuss for the day?
You know, with the timing that we're at right now, definitely want to talk about cleaning up old crop that is still out there, what your options are, you know, if you don't want to be letting go of it yet, and what the different strategies to handle that are, and then also looking forward to harvest that's rapidly approaching, and what some different options are for how to handle your marketing going forward as well.
Aaron Curtis of Midco.
Well, I guess a couple things. First of all, a little bit of a bounce here today. Are we getting close to some sort of a bottom on this corn? It seems like it's been mostly lower for the last few weeks. So are we getting close to carving out some sort of support down here? And you know, it is September now, so the next item really up for debate here is the September 12th crop report, and what are any feelings we have on what production numbers are going to say for that report here in a week and a half.
And Dan Zwicker is Zwicker Consulting.
Yeah, I think the main thing is probably USDA's crop number. Are we going to go higher or lower from that August number? And then maybe some discussion on what USDA may or may not do with supply-demand tables maybe after the September crop, the September stocks report. I think there's some issues there that the trade is buzzing about, whether or not ethanol usage is going up, whether or not feed usage is still going to go down, and how that may or may not impact the longer-term implications of the carry-in stocks for this year's big crop.
Dan, I'd like to start with you this afternoon. Can you take up the monthly charts for me and tell me where we sit, in your opinion, now that we're on the first day of September, in both the corn and the soybeans, wheat too, if that is relevant?
Well, I think in corn, and a lot of your chart traders we're looking at it. I talked to one of my trading buddies overseas the other night, and he did a model based upon historical prices and USDA carryover levels, and then equated it to inflation. And he told me to buy corn at 303, and I texted him through WhatsApp today and said he only missed it by two, and asked him if he bought it, and he said he did, and he took his profit right away here today. So so I think if you got the fundamental modeling people that are looking at carryover relationships to production and factoring in some form of inflation factor, and they're thinking that this $3 level is good value. And I think when you look at over the past 10 years, really, ever since 08, when we had that big decline down to 290 on the spot month there for a day or two, this $3 level to 320, that 20-cent trading range, the market has had a tendency to kind of bounce off those levels. And I think that is kind of what we got started here today. Now, technically, since we were unable to take out the August low in the overnight session or the early morning session here before we had our big rally in corn, It basically is going to be considered at least a start anyway, is a inside month. Now, if a guy wanted to be bullish and was really wanting to look at a good solid bottom, it would then at least higher odds of making a bottom if we would have took out yesterday's low in the overnight trade and then again close here with today's types advances of 7 to 8 cents. It would at least be a good indication that we were going to maybe make a stand. That doesn't mean that we're not making a stand, but it would have been probably a little better. When you look at soybeans, pretty much kind of the same story. We are in a deeply oversold level when we're looking at some daily charts. On the monthly chart, we're not as oversold on beans, but we were at we kind of exceeded the 62% retracement level, and it was a place here for beans anyway to stabilize. But I think beans pretty much got their stabilization basically from the big uptick that we saw in the corn market.
Just as a reminder, we record on Thursday, so what Dan has told you about is taking out the low in corn in August, the longer term low at 318, going below that. And what he wanted was to start September even lower so that you could post an outside up month. That's not going to be the case, at least not to this point. Still possibly could be. So that's where we stand in that. Now, let me turn your attention, Amy Sage, to the item you wanted to take up to begin with, old crop, and cleaning that up and what the options might be. And maybe, Aaron, you can jump in when she's done here with any other ideas that you might have. Amy Sage?
Yep. So obviously there still is some old corn left out there too. Be managed. Not as much in beans, so I'll focus more on corn. You know, a lot of people are needing to do something really by the end of August and looking forward to what we can do now since we're past that time frame. But, you know, outside of just cashing it out because of the dates on the calendar, a couple different things that we like to present is you can lock in your basis and spread that out to a deferred month. Now, that being said, we're watching carries, and typically in a larger crop, you look for carries to widen, but that also is influenced by farmer movement, and the lower the prices are, the less that we're seeing actual farmer sales go on. So that's just a discussion that you might want to have. You know, what are we looking at as far as carries? We actually had an up day in the market today, like you said, on Thursday. So we're seeing some shifting in those numbers as well. So that's always an option. Another one that has come up is going ahead and getting it sold and then attaching a call feature to that. Have several people looking at May's and July's, even at the monies, spending between 10 and 20 cents somewhere in there to protect the upside. I guess the one thing I want to encourage is if you're looking at those types of strategies is to have an exit strategy in mind, and even putting an order in, set your sights on what you're trying to get out of your old crop there and what different scenarios could play out. You know, I think like we referenced, we have taken a lot out of this thing at the end of the day today, even being higher here at the beginning of the month, seeing a little bit of short covering. You know, we might be seeing some short-term lows. I don't think it would surprise a lot of people if we bounced up another 20 cents before we see another round of selling. So, you know, maybe just taking advantage of these short rallies and getting it cleaned up that way. I think we're going to have plenty of new corn to sell. So not just, you know, kind of throwing your hands in the air and sitting on it, but having an actual plan in mind. Those are a couple different options that we've been presenting.
Yeah, I think Amy touched on it. I think, you know, it was kind of a decision day for a lot of people yesterday, especially for corn that was still in the elevator. Typically August 31st is a big decision day. Kind of, do you roll it, pay the new minimum, or rollover charge if that's applicable, or do you just sell it and be done with it? So we did see quite a bit of, excuse me, corn moving here the last two or three days as, you know, once again, the producer kind of waits till the last minute, or not until a decision needs to be made before some throwing in the towel there. So there was some stuff kind of moved forward too. I think, you know, at these prices, the producer was willing to take their chances with a new minimum or with the rollover charge if that's applicable too. So obviously 7 or 8 cents up today doesn't quite do justice if you've committed to some new charges here moving forward. But I think, you know, Amy touched on really a lot of your options, kind of sell it by a call or consider a basis contract, those kind of things. So, you know, not a lot of options here down here at these prices. But like I said, we did see some stuff being moved. We did see the SEPDs push out to 14 cents, which is 87% of full carry, which is something we haven't seen a lot of in the last couple years. That market did, or at least that spread did come in a little bit here today, as we did see really wasn't a very active day as far as what we saw, as far as producer selling, with a lot of those decisions being made earlier in the week, Todd.
We did make new contract lows in corn this week. Do you think the bottom's in?
I think it's too early to say that today. I mean, I like how we acted a little bit here today. The funds are pretty well loaded up on the short side. I think the seasonal suggests that we continue to work a little bit lower into September, looking for some kind of bottom in the middle to late part of September. I think, you know, now we're going to kind of wait and see what yield progress is. You can't rule out if we get into the field and the yields are a little bit better expect and see some additional weakness on this thing. I think the question comes, Todd, is who kind of sells this market with the funds already being pretty heavily short. Boy, I just don't think we're going to see much producer selling down here at these levels with cash prices starting with a two. So, you know, it just makes you wonder where we're going to see some additional hedge pressure or selling pressure down here at these levels. So I would think we at least make an attempt to try to stabilize down here around this $3 mark.
Dan, twice on this first day of September, I've listened to you talk about the charts a little bit for corn and the monthlies. Both times you suggested an inside month. We're only on the first day, but you haven't made a suggestion that corn would move to a new contract low again. Why is that the case?
Well, I think it depends upon, you know, where we're at on this yield. And, you know, I've been reading the stuff that Scott and Daryl's been putting on Farm Doc. And I think Scott, if I remember right, unless he's changed a little bit, he's pretty adamant that the USDA's numbers, as they came out in August, it was a good starting point. And as like he suggested, the odds anyway, or historical odds is that maybe USDA will go up from there. That is really scary if we would climb to, you know, 77 or 78, did the Pro Farmer Tour. I know it probably, the trade did not probably give it maybe as much respect as maybe it should have, but that's just the way farmer surveys go. The trade doesn't pay that much attention to them, but the Pro Farmer survey anyway indicated that maybe USDA is plenty high on the yield on corn, and there's room to come down. So I think that's going to be the big key here. I think we got the private estimates out, both Informa and I think Leslie Stone may be out on Friday before the holiday weekend, but I think that's going to be the key of whether or not this market can stabilize at current levels or if we would maybe go into a counter seasonal move. So far, the market has been very seasonal. It turned down when it was supposed to there in about the third week or so of August. And now this downward trend in seasonality in December corn pretty much is fairly dominant into the first part of October. So what I'm watching, especially after today's rally, is whether or not that's validated on Friday with another higher finish, and whether or not these private crop estimates come down or if they go higher. And that would maybe give us an indication of what USDA may be doing the following week. I'm not too sure exactly when USDA's out, but I assume they're next week, late next week sometime. So that's going to be the key. Today is I think just a plain short covering day. It was oversold on both, on all three charts, whether it was the daily, weekly, or monthly. Timing is such that you could be talking about an important low, but usually when you make lows like this, you have a strong tendency to spend a lot of time going sideways, or that the first step is to define a trading range, a sideways trading range. You rarely have V bottoms in grains unless this crop, you know, starts getting smaller. And the first indication of that's going to be that USDA report, I think.
Yeah, that USDA report is due out on Monday, September the 12th, so a week from this coming Monday. I want to continue down this road. What do you suppose those numbers will look like, and how close will they be to the end of the year number? Because really, there are two things that we have to watch: what happens in September and October, and then what really USDA does with that final number in January and how it changes over time. Aaron, do you have any good ideas about this?
Well, I guess just kind of watching the trend, at least in the marketplace, at least from the private estimates, at least a couple that we've seen so far, is that USDA number maybe on the corn side comes down a little bit, and bean number probably close to where it is. A lot of the discussion right now on exactly what this bean yield is going to be, which is pretty typical, right, for the first part of September, because trying to put a bean yield together at this point is typically somewhat of a useless exercise, always hard to predict. But, you know, I guess our feeling is somewhere in the low 170s as far as corn yield nationwide when it's all said and done, 171, 172, and, you know, somewhere in that 48, 49 area for bean yield. I know that doesn't vary a whole lot, at least on the beans, from the USDA, but it does come down a little bit on the corn, and it feels like, and we'll see, like what Dan mentioned, we'll see what a couple of the private estimates say here late in the week, but it sure feels like the trade is starting to think that just a little bit, that maybe this corn number just might be a little bit too high. We'll see.
Allendale's producer number came out earlier in the week, Amy. It was at 172.6. USDA, of course, at the moment at 175.1. Their bean number at 48.5. Has the Andersons got a number yet that they're working with?
We haven't published one, but I would tend to agree, with Aaron and Allendale and everybody else, that it's probably in the low 170s. At this point, I'd say general consensus in our neck of the woods is that 175 is high, particularly looking at Ohio, where our headquarters are at, and that's small potatoes, and we realize that, but they all add up, and I think they're a little high out there. Illinois, obviously, we feel pretty good about our crop in this area, so don't think they're too far off there, but from a national estimate, think they're to the high side, to the tune of, 2 to 3.5 bushels.
Dan, you mentioned that it won't be long, actually, until we get the final number for the grain stocks for this current fiscal year, the one we're in at the moment. That'll come out on Friday, September the 30th, and you're wanting to watch the supply and demand tables. You suppose they'll change ethanol and feed usage very much?
They're vulnerable to being changed. I've heard, if you look at the June stocks report, it did indicate that feed usage was not moving along as strong as what USDA had on the balance sheet, in the early summer months. And then I think in July, they shaved 100 million off. But that June number suggested that maybe feed usage was as much as 200 million too high. So there could be an additional 100 million shaved off of feed usage, which would bring carry out rather than at 1.7, I think is where USDA is at, would maybe take it up to 1.85 or something like that. The other argument is ethanol usage. USDA has ethanol usage at 5.2, and the reason they have it at 5.2 is because of the efficiencies that the ethanol industry has accomplished, I guess, over the years. But there's a good argument to say that that grind could be 200 million bushels higher. So it looks like there's room for some surprises. You know, if ethanol would bubble up a couple hundred million, then that would offset the feed usage, and then basically, you know, we would stay here at that 1.7. And I think there'd be a big difference whether or not we carry in a 1.7 or a 1.9. I think those are big differences. The other thing that is something to watch, and I know everybody gets misled on it, is USDA's acreage numbers that they report on a monthly basis indicates that corn acres could be 1 million too low. So there could be 1 million increase in corn acres come October. October is going to be the big month for surprises. That'll when they'll have a much better handle on yield, and then they'll make any kind of acreage adjustments if they need to make any some acreage adjustments. So I think there's a lot of vulnerability yet and a lot of surprises to be thrown at the trade, in, you know, until we get past this October crop report. And I think once we get past that, then it's, you know, pretty well, you know, slide on into the January report. But there's not a lot of difference when you look at the balance sheet, whether or not you want to argue 171, 172 bushel yield versus 175. The scary part is if you would go to 178, and but nobody really thinks that's in the cards. But historically, you'd have to say that that could be a possibility. Yet,
dang, you're just full of volatility. Let me go through some of those numbers. Let's see, we have a 1.7 carryout for this fiscal year for corn. You added 100 million for lack of feed usage, right? So you were at 1.8. I liked it better when you subtracted 200 million for ethanol and you were down at 1.6, but you only gave me 1.7 on that. And then you dropped to 1.9. But that just changes carryout. So if you start adding that up, that gives you a carryout range of about 2. We're at 2.4 at the moment for the coming fiscal year. So you're giving me a range of 2.2 to 2.6, is that right?
Well, I think USDA went pretty high on the 16-17 usage numbers. I think a 5.7 feed usage number, or almost 5.7 feed usage number from a 52 or 51 is probably a little fluffy. Now, I won't necessarily argue with their ethanol number. Exports at 21.75 might be a little fluffy. That will depend a lot upon what South America does. And all signals say that South America is going to plant more corn. So they're going to be back in the export business, you know, next spring. So the carryout number at 2.4, I think, you know, the only way that holds if the yield comes down. If we bring the yield down to 172 or 3 or whatever, then I think probably the 2.4 will hold. But if the yield doesn't come down, that 2.4 is not going to hold. It's going to go higher.
All right. So if we do all of this, let's just back up. Amy, you wanted to talk about harvest options and what producers can do with new crop. I think we probably ought to try to do that. What are you thinking at this time?
Yeah, so obviously we want to be watching basis values very closely. You can always put stuff in DP or in storage on what you don't want to sell, because at these prices right here, we're going to be realistic and say that people aren't going to just want to sell their crop across the scale, and that probably isn't going to be the right thing to do depending on where we're at. You know, we can look at basis levels, and I would encourage people to look at those sooner rather than later. If we are looking at the crop size, particularly locally, that we think we're going to have, those can slip in a hurry once combines get rolling. Real values start to back off once corn starts moving. So that's something that want to pay very close attention to in corn. There's a lot of chatter, a lot of talk going on about is there going to be any September incentives, some early incentives. And I do think that that is a realistic possibility. You know, it's going to depend on once we start to nose in here and what values are at and what makes sense, what the market's telling us to do. But particularly where we are a little ahead of in the growing season, you know, the further we are for our facilities to the west here in Illinois, we think we're probably 2 to 3 weeks ahead of some of our more eastern facilities. So we might see that reflected in some rail markets. So definitely want to start thinking about what could possibly be ready early if there's an opportunity to take advantage of some incentives. But then what is going to come during gut slot harvest, want to be looking at locking in basis levels, locking in DP rates, or having a plan in place of what you're going to do. If you want to be locking some floors in, leaving some upside potential, there's some different strategies that we can talk about. But most importantly, I think today, look at your local market and look at your basis and DP and start to get thinking about locking those in.
I think Amy touched on a lot of it there. I think the, you know, at these levels, I think the producer is not going to be a lot interested in giving up complete ownership, or at least the complete opportunity for prices to bounce. And that's what we've really seen the last couple of years. So expect some sort of a repeat to where, you know, the producer is somewhat of a reluctant seller. Now, it comes down to individual cash needs, you know, moving forward here, and that probably results in a, you know, quite a bit of basis contracts, just like we saw last year, and, you know, even some talk of taking out the old-fashioned government loan again at these sort of prices. So I think they'll be looking for some alternatives to try to generate some cash needs, but not give up the opportunity to moving forward. And I think we'll see a lot of corn also just put in old-fashioned storage. So we just don't anticipate a lot of farmer movement at this point, you know, providing the current situation, as long as prices kind of stay in this range. So at least from the buying side, I think it's going to be pretty quiet here as we move through the fall.
Let's wrap up with our final word from each of you. Dan Zwicker, we'll start with you from Zwicker Consulting in Waco, Texas.
Well, as far as pricing strategies go, I mean, like we visited, there's really not a lot of good options. Last year, the basis contract worked like a charm for everybody. A lot of times, those things don't necessarily work 2 years in a row. We're in a full carry market, and sometimes in a basis contract in a full carry market, all you keep buying that carrying charges and really don't go very far with it. So you may want to take a look at something, a little different type of strategy of ownership, you know, maybe selling the cash and buying, you know, a call put spread of some kind that would at least let you capture, you know, maybe a 50 cent move. You never know when one of those 50 cent moves are going to come. It could be harvest delays, who knows what it could be, but there's probably one out there, and you need to be in position to maybe be able to capitalize that.
Amy Sage of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County.
Yep, just want to make sure everybody's talking to their facilities and thinking about these strategies. And also want to make sure to throw out there that we want everybody to have a safe harvest as well.
And Aaron Curtis of Midco out of Bloomington.
Well, to avoid being a total downer on this radio show here this time, Todd, we do want to remind everybody that we are dealing with some record demand. At least the USDA forecast is for corn and soybeans to have record demand. So at least gives us some opportunity here if we do have some slip-ups around the world as the growing seasons continue to grow on, that we have some opportunities maybe to see some better prices, because we do have a lot of demand. At least right now, the USDA is forecasting to try to meet here over the next marketing year. So hopefully that offers a little bit of alternative, or at least some opportunity for some better prices down the road.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at WILLAG.org. You can hear the whole of our program in its entirety. Our panelists this week have included Aaron Curtis of Midco, Amy Sage of the Andersons, and Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.